Amen. Well, hey, how many guys are Christians? Raise your hand. Huh? Praise God. And we got a couple good, you must be an intern or something. Give it up for JJ, right? And but as Christians, we know there's certain things that we Christians do. And of course, not only reading the Bible, studying the Bible, that's what we're getting ready to do. That's something we should do. But we also know that prayer is something that we should do. Man, you guys are, that's a code word for prayer, in case you're wondering, okay? But prayer isn't just something that we Christians should do. I don't know if you guys understand this or not, but prayer is a fantastic, incredible gift from God. Do you realize that? Right? Let me just read to you one passage. Hebrews 4:16 says this. Listen, we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ to approach his throne of grace with confidence to help us in our time of need. Now, is that awesome or what? We've got direct access to God through Jesus Christ, and we can communicate with him. It's awesome. Prayer is a wonderful gift. But what I've also learned over the years of being a Christian, prayer is not just a gift for us. Prayer is a gift for other people. We have the privilege to pray, or what we call intercede for them in their time of need. So it's kind of like a double blessing, right? Now, I said all that to get to this. I don't know, speaking of interceding, praying for others, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but apparently, according to the Facebook posts of Bill and Diane Wimberly, they really need our prayers, okay? In fact, let me share that proof with you today. Let's take a look at this.
Bill, do you think I'm beautiful?
Yes.
Say it like you mean it.
Yes.
Okay, how many guys are going to pray for Bill and Diane Wimberly? You know what I'm saying? Something is going on. Somebody sprayed chicken juice on them when they weren't looking. I don't know what the thing is. But that, no, first of all, Bill, where are you at? Bill, are you hiding? There? Bill, I'm sorry. I don't think you meant it. You know what I'm saying? That was a little weak there on that. But anyway. I love Facebook, man. We're going to talk about that, Lord willing, next week. I call it Tracebook. But it's a gift to pastors, right? You post it. Okay, I use it. That's the law of sunrise, okay? And but it works great. But again, as you guys can see, it's clear on Diane's face. The Wimberleys need our prayers, right? Intercede, right? Okay, it's obvious, okay? But believe it or not, as serious as a prayer request as that is, okay, there's another group of people on our planet who need our prayers even more. Okay, and those people are called the lost, i.e. those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ right now as their Lord and Savior. And the reason why we need to pray and intercede for them is because they are running the risk of being left behind, and that means they're going to be thrust into the seven-year tribulation, and that is not a joke. The Bible is very clear. That is not just an outpouring of God's wrath. It's an outpouring of God's wrath for 7 years nonstop, not just 7 days, not just 7 weeks or 7 months, 7 years nonstop. Jesus said in Matthew 24, that time frame is the worst time in the history of mankind. So horrible that unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. No wonder he warned people about that event, okay? And that's what we need to do as well if we care about them like Jesus. But as we've been seeing, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a what? He's a God of love as well. And how does he demonstrate that love? Well, number one, he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, to escape that period, his wrath, let alone all eternity in hell. Okay, but he also demonstrates his love by giving us a heads up warning of what is coming so we can avoid it. 2,000 years ago, prophecy related events, the scripture has been telling us, okay, but people won't listen, okay? And so that's why you and I as a Christian, we're not afraid of going into the 7 year tribulation. Praise God, we're not going into hell, but we have the privilege to let other people know that Jesus Christ is the way out, and you need to take that serious now, amen? But again, if you're not saved, you need to take this to heart. This is God's way to wake you up. Time is running out, okay? And we're seeing that in our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising, signs that the 7 year tribulation is getting close. Again, we the church leave when? Prior to that, we're not afraid of going into it. Praise God for Jesus Christ, amen, who's rescued us from that. But we need to get busy sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ as fast as we can. We've already seen that first sign in our study is the Jewish people and the Antichrist, okay? Letting us know it's getting close. Then we saw the second sign, of course, was modern technology and the AI invasion. And so far, we saw the first four future prophecies concerning the rise of modern technology, and eventually we're going to get to it, AI artificial intelligence, letting us know that we are living in the last days. Now, we've already seen the evidence was the increase of travel, okay? The increase of travel. Then we saw the increase of communication was the next one. Then we saw the increase of distribution was the next one. And then if you were here last time, we saw the increase of electronic transactions, okay? Again, what we dealt with was the coming cashless society. And that's not by chance. We saw in Revelation 13, we'll be there again, Lord willing, in a minute, okay? The coming cashless society is exactly what the false prophet and the Antichrist need in order to control all the buying and the selling on the planet on a global basis. And what we saw is that is not just coming, it's already being put into place. And we saw that in three different ways. We've saw that we, again, it's not coming, it's already here. We've already connected all the global economies. We've already connected the global commodities. Remember that with the upgrade with the 5G system? That system has the ability to create a global matrix that connects every single product on the planet, as well as every single person as well. Okay, and it connects them in real time. That's why they're upgrading that system as we sit here. Okay, which led to the third one. Then they've also connected all the global currencies. Okay, that we don't need cash anymore. It's all electronic around the world. Okay, which now leads us to the next one. The fifth way that modern technology is telling us we are living in the last days. Time is running out. Man, the 7-year tribulation is getting close. If you're not saved, you better get saved now. And Christian, you better get busy witnessing now. And that is the increase of electronic markings. The increase of electronic markings. And of course, what we're talking about is the classic sign that, again, it seems that people are very silent upon today, even in prophecy circles, and that's the mark of the beast. Okay, and again, even the technology needed, not just for the cashless society, but even the technology needed, okay, to pull off the other aspect of Revelation 13, this marking system that the Antichrist and the false prophet uses to connect people to this electronic buying and selling system, the marking system technology is not coming, it's here as well. Okay, but as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Open your Bibles to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18, we're going to read what is going on now, not just with the electronic transactions, a cashless society, but how is he going to connect people to that system? And it has everything to do with this thing called the mark, or the mark of the beast. Revelation 13, verse 11, let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Then it says this, "Then I saw another beast," talking about the false prophet, "coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon." Who's the dragon defined by the text? Satan, right? So this guy too, the false prophet, is satanically inspired just like the Antichrist, right? And it says he exercised all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf. And he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And because of these signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And then he ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, the Antichrist, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to what? To be killed. But then he does another thing, and here we go. He also forced how many? Everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a what? A mark on his, specifically where? Right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. You may be seated if you can. But again, this is the classic passage dealing with the mark of the beast. And the Bible tells us, whether you like it, lump it, believe it or not, whether you want to scoff and mock, all you want, the Bible says, believe it or not, all the specific phrase there, inhabitants of the earth. These are the people who are left behind after the rapture in the 7-year tribulation. All the inhabitants of the earth are not only going to be under the authority of the Antichrist. And last time we saw, they're not only going to be under the economy of the Antichrist, but it says at some point, they're going to be given a decision, and you better do it. And if you don't do it, you're going to die. And that decision is, you need, is what he's going to say, you need to take the mark of the Antichrist. is what he says there. Okay, the planet is going to be deceived. The false prophet plays that role, deceives the planet into people specifically marking, listen, their bodies. Marking their bodies in order to keep on what? Buying and selling. Okay, and it's going to connect them to this system that they cannot just buy and sell, but that's their only way also to escape being killed. Okay, so there's a little bit of pressure there, if you can see there. But my question to you and I is, okay, we saw that we're headed towards a cashless society, but are we actually seeing people being conditioned to be using their body parts to make payments? Number one, yeah, you know what the word is today? Biometrics. Right? Whether it be your hand, whether it be your face, whatever, head and hand, we're getting used to identifying ourselves and making financial transactions with our body parts. It's called biometrics, right? The Bible calls it mark of the beast system, right? I'm not saying these systems right now are the mark of the beast. You know, you get emails and phone calls, Pastor Billy, should I use my ATM card? Is that the mark of the beast? No. The point, so then why are we talking about this? No, the mark of the beast is something that happens, as we saw, in the 7-year tribulation. Our point for you and I is this, we're not going in there, but do we see the technology to pull off the mark of the beast in the 7-year tribulation now? Yeah, so that tells us, man, it's getting close. That's our point. We're, as a Christian, not afraid of waking up one day. I just took a nap on the couch, and it was after the men's retreat, and they made this chicken soup, and I fell asleep, and I woke up, and they put the mark of the beast on me. Oh! Christians are not in danger of the mark of the beast because we're not there. That's not fully implemented until the 7-year tribulation. Again, our point is seeing, is that technology here now to pull that event off? Okay? And yes, it is. Biometric payment systems are already in place. But not just that. Are people willing to do that? Yeah, and that's what we're going to take a look at today. Now, the first way that our planet, folks, is ready for this mark of the beast system now, okay, leading to the 7-year tribulation, is frankly the technology is already here. It's not coming, folks. It's not 50 years down the road. And how many times do you hear the scoffy say that? Oh, you Christians have been saying Jesus is coming. Technology. This is why it's so important, this study we're doing. Technology blows all that scoffing away. And so a lot of the technology that we're dealing with is something that's just happened recently. Not just in our lifetime, but some of this stuff is just in the recent few years. Okay, which makes these times different, and you might want to pay attention. Okay, now the technology that I'm going to talk about is a technology called RFID. RFID is an acronym for radio frequency identification. Okay, and RFID is a microchip technology, okay, that can be, listen, implanted into something, including a person, or on something. Right? The same thing. It's actually a printed technology. So it could be inside of somebody, a microchip technology, or it could be put on somebody. Okay, but this one device, RFID, this microchip technology, it does three things, okay, that's very important that I believe is needed to pull off Revelation 13, the Mark of the Beast system. Number one, it stores and receives information. Okay? Number two, it can be used as a tracking device. Now, pay attention to that, because a lot of times you start talking about this RFID technology that, oh, we've never used it to track you. What you're going to see is that's exactly what's being promoted as a so-called benefit. Okay, but the third thing that this technology, all-in-one technology, if you just get it in or on you, okay, it can also be used at the same time, storing information, tracking you, but you can make financial transactions. Isn't that nifty? If you would just get this microchip device in or on you. Now, the reason why I keep stressing in or on you is because sometimes there's a big debate, which I think is, with all due respect, oftentimes nonsensical, even among Christians who talk about the mark of the beast. Because some translations will say in the right hand or in the forehead, or others will say on the right hand or on the forehead, right? And they'll say, well, it's got to be in. No, it's got to be on. No, it's got to be in. No, it's got to be on. And then the next thing, it's like one of those, the classic church things. Well, man, praise God for this building campaign. God's blessing the church. And we need to expand the building. And now we're at the point, we got to choose carpet. Is it going to be red or is it going to be blue? Is it going to be red? Is it going to be blue? And then the church splits over it. That's a real story. I encountered that with another pastor telling me that in Northern California when I pastored up there. Can you believe that? And so as Christians, we're going, is it in? Is it? Listen, it doesn't matter. I don't want to get into the Greek. The Greek could go either way. But here's my point in saying in or on. It doesn't matter anymore. If you're familiar with the technology, this RFID technology can go in or it can go on. No need to argue. And it all does the same thing. Store information, track you, and make financial transactions. But let's focus on the implanted device, okay? Now, that implanted device is this thing, okay? It's what it looks like, okay? It's a RFID technology, a microchip, inside this little capsule, okay, that's put inside your body. It's called a biometric implant, okay? And it's about the size, you can see, a grain of rice. And they put it just beneath your skin, and it's being promoted today as a panacea for all kinds of convenience and coolness, right? If you get this device, we saw this before in some of our studies, you can unlock the door, you can start your car with it, you don't need your keys anymore, you know, it stores all this information, okay? But it can also be used, okay, to make financial transactions as well, okay? And that's what's being pitched, all very convenient, if you just get this device inside your body. Now, if you're thinking that's kind of crazy, listen to this. It's already been approved by the FDA as far back as 2002. So that, do you think the government's been working on this for a while? Oh, and by the way, we're going to see in a little bit, one of the areas that they're promoting that we need to get this RFID technology in or on us is in the medical community. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but aren't you glad the government controls the healthcare system now? They wouldn't mandate this, would they? You know, because they could store all your medical records and you could make your copay right there. Yeah, step by step, folks, it's being done, okay? But again, for those of you who think that this is never going to catch on, that's only for those fringe people, folks, it's already here and people are already doing it. Let me give you just a little teaser of what's going on in our country. Let's take a look.
Microchip implants are a popular way to keep track of pets. Now, some people are getting them, but for a different reason.
The microchips can help unlock doors or log into a cell phone. Consumer Watch reporter Julie Watts explains.
Tim Schenk uses it to open his front door and manipulate a smartphone.
And it turned off my ringer.
Chrissy Heishman uses hers instead of a key card at work.
And it's just a little glass bead like the size of a grain of rice.
They're among a growing number of people implanting technology under their skin.
We don't want to carry devices. We want devices built into us.
Zoltan Ishvan of Mill Valley belongs to the Transhumanist Party. The movement seeks to radically improve humans through digital implants, even genetic manipulation. For now, a common procedure, implanting programmable RFID chips under the skin. But instead of a doctor's office, many are turning to tattoo and piercing shops.
We're doing the procedure start to finish just like we would do an earring, a nose ring, a belly button ring. It's just a little piece of glass.
The online company Dangerous Things sells the device and injection kit for $57. But they're not alone. A San Francisco company is developing tiny implantable digital tattoos. They'll authenticate credit cards, track your location, even collect health data. But the next big thing does present an age-old tech problem.
I have the older chip now. I need to get the upgrade.
Constantly being forced to upgrade implanted technology can mean a pain in more than just the pocketbook.
Yeah, the pain eventually is you're leading towards, in the seven-year tribulation, the mark of the beast system, okay? But I want to point out a couple things in that video. Oh, by the way, where was that taking place? In the United States of America, okay? But first of all, who would have thought, first of all, we would see people willingly receiving this kind of technology for all kinds of supposed convenience, okay, you know, and ditch all the cards and all that stuff. But secondly, notice that that's exact same technology. You saw it all in that one video. It could certainly be implanted in, but what was also the other option? It could be on as well. So in on both bases of cover. Not only that, notice what industry is super duper, not just warming up to this, but they're on the front lines promoting this. And that was the tattoo, body art industry, whatever you want to call it, okay? I mean, and I don't think that's by chance that this is not only on the rise, it's gone ballistic today. Have you noticed that? I mean, back in my days in the mid-80s, man, it was not cool to get a tattoo, okay? It was just, you just don't do that. It just, nobody ever got a tattoo, right? It just wasn't happening. You want to do that? It's fine. Whatever, but it just wasn't. But man, have you noticed today? Everybody's got to have a tattoo. And not just a tattoo. Where's the latest piece of scrap of skin that I haven't covered? I got to get another tattoo, right? But it isn't just even tattoos. It's gone beyond that. Have you noticed, as you saw the guy with the picture with the, with all due respect, with the things and the piercings and the lobe things and all that stuff, okay? Okay? And I'm telling you, folks, it just keeps getting more and more so-called popular and promoted in that industry. In fact, they keep taking it to whole new extremes, right? Let me give you just a few examples of that. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just exposing. Here's what this movement is willing to do to their bodies, okay, to alter them, right? Look at this guy here. Again, not making fun of him, but it's beyond tattoos. You got to get implants. It's not just about with the rings there, but those are plants. Typically, those are bone implants under the skull and then metal implants, right? Take a look at this guy here. Apparently a fan of Edward Scissorhands. I don't know. Maybe it's, but it's like, what? Are you serious, man? And again, tattoos is almost like a starting point. And what else can I do to my body that's so-called art? Okay, as well. There's this, and not just guys, this is a lady. Okay, a lady, and she's got the bone implants going across her forehead, rings. She's actually, the other trend is they're altering their teeth, making them pointy like a vampire and all this stuff. And vampires and the, hey, good thing Hollywood has no effect on people. Yeah, whatever. Okay, but that, even so, ladies are getting into it. It's not just that. This is a guy, I don't know if you can see this. He's got the ring thing. You can actually see all the way through his mouth from one cheek to the other. And down here, I don't know if you can see it, but he's got a split tongue. He's sticking his tongue out the side of his cheek, okay, as well. So he's willing to do that as well. And then speaking of the head, okay, and the hand, remember that's where ultimately this stuff is headed. That's called a bagel. I forget, bagel something. It's supposed to look like a bagel. I guess that's the cool thing now, is to get saline injected into your head to create that thing on the forehead. And again, good thing Hollywood doesn't have any effect on us. This guy apparently wants to be like Wolverine. Okay, as well. But speaking of not just the head, you see that guy's forehead being altered, okay? But the hands. And this is another trend that they're doing, so-called body art. That one's got a lock on it, and that one, of course, has a skull, okay? Now, again, I'm bringing this up not to make fun of people, whatever, but my point is, here's the, to me, the obvious question. Do you think that those people and anybody involved in that industry will have any problem getting some sort of a tiny microchip implant in or on their bodies in order to buy and sell in the 7-year tribulation? Are you kidding me? That is complete chump change compared to what they're willing to do right now. Okay? And it's being promoted as the cool thing, the end thing. I don't think that's by chance. I think it's even taken it to an extreme so that when it comes time to do something as small as a little grain of rice, that's nothing. I mean, at least it's not like putting horns on my head. You see what I'm saying? I don't think that's by chance. I think it's a step-by-step conditioning process. But the technology is here. It's not coming. The technology is here for somebody to mark people's bodies, specifically their hands, their forehead, the right hand, in order to buy and sell. It's already here, already being put into play, which leads to the second thing, and that is the willingness. The willingness is already here, okay? Now, what I want to focus on here is it's not just, you know, and this is what we're tempted to think. It's just that fringe group of people, you know, not the rest of us in society, but the fringe group of people who's willing to get these kind of marks in their bodies, okay? It's not just the body art industry, okay? And again, what's that device do? All of it in one device. It stores and receives information. It's a tracking device, and it makes financial transactions, okay? But listen, people who are now conditioned, this goes on our last message, people who are now conditioned to use nothing but cashless payment systems, electronic payment systems, they too are on the front lines of warming up to having it all combined into some sort of an implant device. And the reason why is because there's one fatal flaw, as we saw last time with the cashless payment systems, whether it be with your card, or which has a microchip in it, or whether it be with your phone that has a microchip in it. What's the fatal flaw with both of those cashless payment systems? You could lose it, or it could get stolen. And so these people have already come to the next so-called logical step, and it's like, well, I can't have that, because then I'd be shut out of the system. So hey, wouldn't it be great if you could take that same kind of microchip technology that's embedded in your card or embedded in your cell phone, and hey, embed it into your body, and you can make payments with your body parts. I mean, wouldn't that be great? And that's not just some wacky conspiracy theory. It's not just something I made up that goes really well with my sermon notes. It's something that's already being done that has nothing to do with the body art industry. Let's go back to Sweden. Remember we saw last week, Sweden is the first country, not the only one, but the first country on the globe that is virtually 100% cashless. Only 1%, we saw last time, only 1% of their transactions is physical cash. And that's going away real soon. 99% of every transaction that's ever made in that whole country is electronic. Well, wonder of wonders, guess who is leading the front line with, you know what, we need to ditch the cell phone and we need to ditch, the cards with this cashless payment system. Let's just go ahead and get a microchip implant that does it all for us. It's Sweden. In fact, Sweden is already there, folks. In fact, they're already there in droves. Okay, remember, it's not by chance. First, get people to switch to cashless. Leave a fatal flaw in there. Oops, you could lose that. So figure out a way to secure it by making it a part of your body, which is with you wherever you go. And Sweden is right there. In fact, so much so, they're even having what's called microchip parties, where it's the cool thing. Let's all get a microchip. Has nothing to do with body art. It's just, this is the next wave of cashless payment systems. Watch this.
Thousands of people in Sweden have opted to trade in their ID and their credit cards for tiny microchips that would be implanted like underneath their skin.
Yeah, these chips are supposed to take the place of key cards, rail cards, credit cards.
Yeah, the chips are typically the size of a grain of rice, and they're implanted just under the skin between the thumb and the forefinger.
So many people in Sweden are lining up to get these microchips that the country's main chipping company says that it can't even keep up with the number of requests.
Really?
What
I'm thinking,
in the
no way I would do that.
What in the Illuminati, Mark of the Beast, witchcraft is going on over there in
wow.
Sweden? Haven't they heard of like a wristband? You know, like everybody
yeah.
wears a Fitbit or an Apple Watch.
I just,
you know,
wow. And I'm sure it must have been well tested for safety, but I'm just not even feeling comfortable.
No.
But although there's microchips in pets, so I mean, it's not
yeah.
unheard of, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know it sounds kind of strange, but. Hey, we've been conditioned for, what, 20, 30 years now to microchip your pet? If it's good for Sparky, why not Johnny and Susie? And it's apparently they're doing fine. And do you think it's by chance that the country that is almost 100% cashless is now leading the line to take the next step? Let's make it a microchip implant to make financial transactions. Folks, it is not by chance. Who would have thought we would see people in our lifetime, not just some fringe group of people? And Sweden, folks, it's a whole country. But good thing it'll never come here. Which leads to the third one. Oh, they're going to make sure that even here in America, we do it. And they're doing that with propaganda. If you're paying attention, folks, to the media, the whole system, this is one of the hot topics that's being promoted right now that you and I have got to go along. Right? It's not a body art issue. It's not just for those people over there in Europe. But that's right, you and I, red-blooded Americans, we've got to do this too because it's going to lead to a life of wild streams. And to me, that blows me away. Because we live in a country, at least that boasts of having the most Christians ever in our country. I don't believe that. But we boast of having the most Christians, right? And so surely, as Christians, there's no way. I could see Sweden because, you know, Sweden, that's Europe. It's dark spiritually. There's hardly any churches there. The evangelical community is such a small percentage. No wonder, because they don't know. They're left in the dark. That's why they're falling for this. But not America, because we got so many Christians. Everybody knows about the mark of the beast. Are you kidding me? Folks, this is a side effect of churches today not teaching all of God's word. Okay, it's not just prophecy, but listen, churches are being left in the dark because churches today, as we saw, is going into apostasy. They're not teaching the Bible, let alone Bible prophecy, right? And so because they're not teaching the Bible or Bible prophecy, guess what's one obvious big giant thing that even Christians have no clue about? The mark of the beast. They don't even know about it. What is mark of the who? What? And this has gone on so long that we have whole generations of Christians that know nothing. See, we take it for granted. Everybody knows about the mark of the beast. Not today. And I'm talking the church. Let alone, do they have any knowledge of how far the technology is concerning the mark of the beast? And again, as I started off with, I'll even say this. I speak all over the United States on a constant basis at Bible prophecy conferences. I'm not saying that to boast. That's not my point. I'm just saying I hang around with a lot of people who speak on a lot of prophecy, and that's great. I'm glad. But again, I'm just going over the last maybe 3 years of traveling all around. You know how many messages I can count on my hand of any prophecy teacher talking about specifically a message specifically on the mark of the beast? Zero. So even in my own camp of prophecy-related teachers, and I'm not saying that to denigrate them, it's like nobody's talking about this. And so even those who want to hear prophecy, they're getting everything else but the mark of the beast technology or even a cashless society. They'll talk about Big Brother, and that's important. We're going to get into that, Lord willing, next week. They'll talk about Middle East issues, and that's important because Israel's a big sign. We spent 20 weeks on that. But why isn't anybody talking? It used to be, remember 20 years ago? Everybody was talking about the mark of the beast. Don't you remember that? And then all of a sudden, when it's never closer than it ever has been before, silence. Even from the prophecy community. I don't think that's by chance. Okay, but just in case, it's not only because people don't know about it in America, because the churches are refusing to teach on it, but there's a second reason, okay, and that is propaganda, okay? And believe you me, they better use some propaganda, because the Bible's very clear, if you take the mark of the beast in the seven-year tribulation, you're going straight into hell, right? So you're going to have to come up with something to convince people, right? And this is what we see in the Bible. God's very clear about this. The last thing you ever want to do is take the mark of the beast. And again, not for the Christian, but for those who unfortunately find themselves there. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. If anyone, how many? Anyone, very exclusive from God here, worships the beast and his image and what? Receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises how long? Forever and ever. And he says it again. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Now, how do you get any more clear than that? I don't know. But God says it not just once, he says it twice. The last thing you ever want to do is to receive the mark of the beast. Why? Because the moment you take the mark of the beast, you have chosen in your heart of your own will, you're not going to be taking a nap. Oh no, they got me. You chose to do that. You made a decision to reject not only Jesus Christ, you made a decision to accept the Antichrist and worship him and to buy into a system. God says that choice locks you into the lake of fire. You're doomed. And so I bring that up. The Bible is very clear about it. So how in the world is the enemy going to get people to risk that horrible destiny? And the impression we get from the scripture is the bulk of the people do. Even though God says don't. You'll go straight into the lake of fire. Don't do that. Well, he uses propaganda. This is what the enemy does, folks. He's a liar, Satan is, right? He's a deceiver, the Bible says. He's cunning, right? And so that's what he does. He lies, he deceives, he twists the truth. Listen, he makes the bad look good. He does it all the time. And he's doing the same thing right now with this mark of the beast system through propaganda over and over and over again from a multitude of angles in the modern media system, okay? To get people, yes, even here in the United States of America, who you think would know better with their supposed Christian background, okay? And let me delineate that for you. The first propaganda technique is with prisoners. Yeah, we need to microchip prisoners, don't we? Because after all, they don't have any rights, right? You see, I don't think this is by chance. The enemy, if he were to announce straight out of the gate, hi there, excuse me, thanks for giving me this commercial on primetime television. I'm the devil, not me, I'm playing one on this sermon. I move on. All right, so, so hi there, you know, I just want to announce to the world my plans. It's a conditioning process. I'm using propaganda. And boy, I'm duping all you guys. And wait till you see this religious cohort that joins my team. He's going to really dupe you. Right? But you know what we're going to do? We're going to dupe you into thinking that getting a microchip implant to buy and sell, to make financial transaction is a good thing. It's called the mark of the beast and it's coming near you. People would freak. So what you do is the same tactic they use all the time. You work at the end of the spectrum. And then you work at your ultimate goal. And the end of the spectrum that they're starting off with is what we've been conditioned to think, oh, those bad people. prisoners, criminals. They deserve to be microchipped. But not the rest of us. We have nothing to worry about. We haven't done. It's a slippery slope. And if you're paying attention to the news, folks, that's exactly what he's doing. They're starting at the edge and saying, these people, listen, they don't have a choice. They have to get one. It's actually being promoted right now in legislation. Let's take a look.
With the two fugitives on the loose, a lawmaker from upstate has a high-tech plan to prevent another prison break. She's proposing microchipping prisoners. CBS 2's political reporter Marcia Kramer here with that proposal. Marcia?
Well, Dana, bloodhounds and expensive manhunts are so yesterday when it comes to hunting escaped prisoners. That's the opinion of one upstate senator who says the state should explore implanting tiny GPS devices under convict skin. Others say microchipping criminals could have multiple uses.
If you've got convicted murderers, the type of people that these two men are, that it would make some good sense at that level that we should have something that we could track them.
With 800 law enforcement officials still unable to pick up the trail of escaped murderers Richard Matt and David Sweat, the suggestion from State Senator Kathy Michonne to microchip people convicted of serious crimes with tiny GPS devices under their skin is picking up steam. They already microchip pets.
It wouldn't do any harm, I guess. They do it with dogs.
I think that might be a good idea. Maybe it'll work.
I heard about it over other parts of the world, so I would say yes.
Once we go down this path, we're going to start microchipping all of us, which is what I think some people in Albany would like to do.
I don't necessarily have any proof one way or the other, but I don't think that guy is a Christian, but even he can get the slippery slope that's going on here. You start doing this and microchipping people that you want to say they're just like dogs. Do you really think they're going to stop there? Do they ever stop there? No. But if we start to allow them to do that. Oh, by the way, what state was that being promoted in? New York. As we all know, New York really stands on biblical principles. Yeah, that's the same state right now that is legalizing murdering children, or even talking about outside the womb, as we saw in our abortion study, the mass murder of children. But now they're also wanting to do it to adults outside the womb with euthanasia. And so here's that same state that says, let's start microchipping prisoners. But then that's just the end of the spectrum. You got to start working your way in to your ultimate goal. And that, too, is also being promoted. And again, I mentioned this is in the medical industry, right? And again, the medical industry is being promoted, okay, that this is going to be not just a convenient way to store your health records, because, I mean, who's got a copy of all that stuff? And how many times do you think that they're the ones that should have the records, but you are the one that's got to take the CD down over here to them? And it's like, don't you guys have this stored somewhere? And then you got that, and then are you going to read it right? They don't have the records. Wouldn't it be great if we could just have all of our records in one microchip that we could never lose? Oh, by the way, it's something that we could pay our copay. I mean, wouldn't that be convenient? Well, believe it or not, of all places, folks, that's actually being promoted in the medical community with everybody's favorite doctor, Dr. Oz. It's the next big thing. Watch this.
Today's show is all about the latest breakthroughs. Turns out one of the biggest discoveries is actually this tiny. See how small that is? This little chip may be the next big thing, and it sounds like it's right from a sci-fi movie, but people all over the world are implanting these into their wrists. So I asked my producer, Dean, to find out more about this cutting-edge technology and what it could mean for your health.
Whether it's our smartphones, our watches, our fitness trackers, or our Bluetooth headphones, it's clear that technology is not just part of our lives, it's running them. It's how we buy things, watch things, how we date, stay safe, even how we travel. Paul? Cool. We're so attracted to our devices that they're basically becoming a part of our bodies. But what if they really could become a part of our bodies? Well, guess what? They can. Meet the RFID microchip. This tiny chip, which can be implanted into your wrist, yes, I did say wrist, uses short-range radio frequency identification, similar to the tech used to track your pets or your phone. Once implanted in your body, it could identify you as you pass through the airport, open the door to your home. It could even be used to buy groceries at the supermarket.
Now, your driver's license, passport, keys, and wallet are all inside your body, contained in something the size of a grain of rice.
I know it might sound like sci-fi, but it's not. 10,000 people have already been chipped, and the number is growing.
The possibilities are limitless, especially when it comes to your health. Imagine you're rushed to the hospital without any identification. But with just one scan of your chip, doctors know your name, date of birth, medical history, insurance, blood type, allergies, even the medication you're taking.
This chip in your wrist won't just change your life. One day, it might just save it. And that's why this little RFID microchip is the next big thing.
Where's that being aired at? In the United States of America. Being promoted on, I mean, if Dr. Oz says it's good, it's got to be good. I'll say it again. Aren't you glad the government took over the healthcare system? Remember when we thought and we were told, oh, you'll still have a choice? Turn to somebody and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. And it was thrust on us. It was mandated. You got no choice, by and large. Do you think, because they're all about saving money and the healthcare is, you know, booming up to be this unimaginable cost, and we gotta somehow centralize this and make it easier and more cost effective, and wouldn't it be great if we can store all this information in an electronic database? Did you know that that's already in the healthcare system, the mandate to make all medical records electronic? And if they're going to force that down our throat with the medical industry, do you think the same industry who's promoting this will never mandate something like that? I don't know. I don't think it's by chance, folks. You work your way in to your ultimate goal. But then they're going to, you know, speak of the medical. Now they're moving into the next one. And this is where it becomes obvious. It's not just used to store and receive information. This thing's used for a tracking device as well. They'll know exactly where you're at anywhere on the planet. Okay, which by the way is going to come in handy if you're the false prophet and the Antichrist. Remember, maybe somebody's out there saying, no, I'm not going to do what you say. No, I'm done. I'm not worshiping you. What's he say? You will be killed. Well, how are they going to know where you're at on the planet? Oops, shouldn't have taken the mark. Because this device also is a tracking device. And they are recommending this, that we got to do this for our loved ones. Because we all know what's another huge epidemic in our country today. Alzheimer's. I've been through that with 3 grandparents already. Never would microchip them. Excuse me. Hello. Okay. But for the average Joe who doesn't know any better, they think this thing is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Because, I mean, that way, if they do, and it happens, they wander off. If we just microchip them, just like our pets, we'll live a life of ease and be at peace. Because they can always be found instantly. Watch this.
Well, a company is developing a microchip that could be used to help patients with dementia.
Yeah, this Wisconsin company got a lot of attention last year when they started putting microchips in their employees. They use the chips like other companies use ID badges.
So now they say they're working on a more advanced version that they say they've gotten requests from people with relatives who have Alzheimer's or dementia. The new device will have GPS technology.
There were times that my mom would call. Panicked. I just got the shower and Dad is nowhere to be found. Immediately, my mind went to a bad place.
It's why she was intrigued to hear about a piece of technology being made by Three Square Market, a company in River Falls.
In someone with Alzheimer's and dementia, time is your biggest enemy.
Patrick McMullen is the president of the company that you may remember offered hand-inserted microchips to their employees to scan into the building or buy things from the break room.
The developers of this microchip now believe it could save lives, especially for those suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's.
It's a low-power GPS device.
If a person with dementia or Alzheimer's has the microchip inserted in a hand and gets lost, the microchip would send their location or a map of where they've recently been back to the person's caregiver or loved ones, notifying them in real time where the person is.
But don't worry, we're not going to use this for tracking you. It's just to store and receive information and buy that Butterfinger in the cafeteria. This is their own video. What do they say? Oh, and by the way, somebody, oh no, you got to be like super close to the scanner. There's no way. What was the example they were given? The person with Alzheimer's out in Timbuktu. We know exactly where you are. We're going to come get you. Turn to somebody and say it again. Liar, liar, pants on fire. This is crazy. It's a tracking device. But don't you see what kind of life of ease? I mean, as adults, we're busy. Everybody's busy, right? I ain't got time to worry about my parents, my grandparents with Alzheimer's, and if they get lost, I just microchip them, will you? So I can get back to business. Which leads to the next one, because again, you're working your way to your ultimate goal is, you know, there's something else that we parents take care of them, okay? In my house, we call them crumb snatchers. Yeah, that's the code word for children, right? I mean, hey, we're talking about chipping these adults who are under your care so you can go back to having a life of ease and peace and no worries. But hey, those little crumb snatchers on the other end of the spectrum, they get lost too. What would you do? Hey, we need to microchip them too. And believe it or not, folks, that's being promoted as well. We need to microchip our kids as well. Let's take a look at that.
It happens in seconds. Moms and dads, you know that feeling. Your child gets lost in a store, maybe just wanders off for a second or two. Your heart stops, though. Panic sets in, and you think the worst. It's happened to most of us, but what if you had a secret weapon, an extra layer of safety, so to speak? How far would you go to keep your children secure?
Would you be willing to microchip them? Experts tell us the technology already exists. Turns out one Bay Area mother is all for it, and she shared her story with our Melanie Michael.
Hey guys, good evening to you both. You know, chances are if you have a four-legged family member at home, it's already microchipped. And if the technology exists to save Fido in an emergency, what about microchipping your child? Before you say, no way, I would never do that, hear one mom's story.
It's the longest 2 seconds of your life, and it's absolute panic.
My son back.
We've seen it in movies.
This is my daughter!
Over and over again, children gone missing.
It's terrifying.
For Stephanie Rodriguez Neely, life is busier than ever, with 4 children, including a newborn. She knows scary situations can happen in an instant, and for her, it has.
If it'll save my kid, there's no step that's too extreme.
Stephanie's teenage daughter is a special needs child, prone to wander off and trust strangers. For that very reason, Stephanie wholeheartedly welcomes microchipping a child.
If a small chip the size of a grain of rice could have prevented a tragedy, I think most parents, you know, hindsight would have said, I wish I would have done it.
A well-known technology expert out of Boston tells us microchipping poses little to no health risks and would act as a barcode of sorts.
Without question, it could save a life, reunite a family, find a missing Alzheimer's patient.
I always tell people, as long as you're doing what you feel is best for your child, you're not really wrong.
And guys, this is what we're talking about, the microchip. I don't know if you can see it in my hand. It's the size of a grain of rice, very, very small. And the expert that we spoke with actually tells us that barcodes were introduced in the late 1960s. And back then, people thought this is way too invasive and too weird. And now barcodes are so commonplace that we don't even think about them anymore. The expert tells us this will happen sooner rather than later. Somewhere, someday, someone is going to pull this off and we could see those microchips in everyone.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Notice how quickly it switched to just children to everyone needs to have a microchip. Somebody, she said, is going to pull it off. I wonder who that might be. It rhymes with the Antichrist and the false prophet, for those of you hooked on rhyming. Where's this being aired? In the United States of America. And who are they targeting? Just those fringe group of people, you know, who do those things with their bodies. The average person who has no clue, thanks to the church refusing to teach on prophecy, let alone the rest of the scripture. Nobody knows. And everybody's being sold a bill of goods. But notice from how many different angles this is coming from. Start over here with those prisoners. They deserve a chip. Oh, hey, how about the medical? It'd be so convenient, right? And no more losing. And oh, hey, how much Alzheimer's? Oh, hey, about the kids. And oh, by the way, it's really for everybody. Hey, wouldn't it be great? And you might still be out there going like, well, listen, that's still kind of freaky for me. You haven't really convinced me yet. And so this fifth and final one, I really think, is not by chance. Guess who they're using to promote this, to make sure you just go over the edge and buy into it, this microchipping. It rhymes with Hollywood. And see, again, because we all know it's just movies, Those are just sports figures and personalities. What they say has no effect on us, on our belief systems, our buying habits, our... I wish that was true. But it's called star power in the industry for a reason. You don't want just me, hey, Pastor Billy Crone from Las Vegas says, buy this shoe. Nobody will buy it. Who's he, huh? So they get somebody from what? Hollywood to say the exact same thing and people go crazy. You even look at Hollywood, it's called product placement. Have you noticed that? Hollywood makes so much money by inserting a can of Coke. He's not just drinking something, it's Coke. And have you noticed that sometimes their hands are even awkward? Just to make sure that Coke is facing the whole time. Or when they flip the laptop up, it's always got the Apple. Right? That's called product placement. Why? Because they know that when we see that, it influences us. Not just our buying habits, but our behavior, our belief system. And believe it or not, I'm just going to give you one quick example. They're using Hollywood to say, we've got to microchip people. Again, reinforcing even our kids for their own sake. This one's from Brooke Shields. Let's take a look.
All right, this next one's a little creepy. I want to see what you guys think. Okay?
It is and it isn't.
I heard about this.
Brooke likes this idea, which tells you a lot about Brooke. Listen to this story. Okay, so if you forgot your ticket to a game, a soccer game in Argentina, it's not a problem because you can use the microchip that's been embedded under your skin by the team. An Argentinian soccer team planning experimentally to this point to offer supporters a chance to implant a microchip in their skin. Lets them walk right through, like easy pass in your car.
It's an easy pass.
You just walk right into the stadium.
But the easy pass is in your car, not in your wrist.
That's correct.
But see, I'm not really thinking about it in terms of sports as much as I would love to put one in my kids.
Just to know where they are?
I know it's creepy and really futuristic, but my dog has one.
Right.
And she ran away and ended up, we live downtown, and she ended up, in Harlem. Mm-hmm. And somebody did deliver her to a facility, a place, and they scanned her, and then they found us. And I honestly am not completely against chipping my children.
Have you proposed this to the girls?
I haven't. No, I thought I would do it in their
now
sleep.
Now they know.
I would put it.
Just, Mom. Yeah. Mom, what
just
was
a
that?
Button,
oh, I don't know.
Sleep.
It's a mosquito. There's something about it. I don't know about the scanning and that people are like, oh, it'll help you in the subways.
Slope. You're going to be programming them to eat their vegetables with a button.
It's going to happen, though. Yeah, we're scanning things with our eyes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a thumbprint anymore. It's not just, so I wouldn't put it past it being done.
Couldn't we just put it in our phone? Everything's in the phone and swipe the phone.
When you get on a plane now, you can just beep, you go like that.
How do you find your children if they somehow get kidnapped?
All right.
Really take this going.
I'm bringing it way down.
Bring it back to the blacklist.
I like the tracking device. I like
a
little low jack on my baby.
Working on a whole other chip behind closed doors with a team of scientists.
I want a baby low. Yeah. Baby low jack. That's what I want.
I want a baby low jack on my baby. But hey, but don't worry, because we all know that Hollywood has no effect on people. And what kind of people in our country? I'm not even talking just non-Christians. I'm talking about Christians who have no idea what this thing called the Mark of the Beast is. They're going to look at this thing as, man, it's cool. It's common sense, man. It's going to lead to a life of convenience. It's great. Oh, and by the way, it can not only track and you never lose and store information, but as you saw, they're already using it in other countries to use their body parts to make payments. I mean, all in one device. It's nifty. It's cool. It's amazing. Folks, here's my point. Put all this together. This is not by chance. Are you kidding me? The enemy is cunning. He's deceitful. He knows exactly what he's doing. Even in the United States of America, who frankly should know better, but we're being left in the dark because of an absence of teaching, not just on prophecy, but prophecy-related items, including the Mark of the Beast. And he's out there, he's saying, in the United States of America, we need to microchip prisoners. We need to do the whole medical industry, whether you like it or not, to save money. We need to do with those Alzheimer's. We need to do with the kids. Oh, by the way, it's really for everybody. Do you think that's by chance? No. And do you think it's actually working? Yes, it is. And again, not just with fringe group of people, but people who specifically want this. Maybe they're not interested in the storing and receiving of information. Maybe they're not interested in using it as a tracking device. But the big area people are really warming this up, shocker, is in the area of buying and selling. Right now in the United States of America, people are being microchipped to be able to pay with the wave of a hand. Not coming, it's already here. Here's just one example.
I can't believe he just paid with his hand. You just literally put your hand up and you're good to go.
That's crazy.
Hi, my name is Charlie Warzel. I'm a senior writer with BuzzFeed News. And in order to see what the future of money looks like, I decided to live for a month just paying for things with my phone. And somewhere along the line, I ended up getting a microchip implanted inside my hand to see if I could be the first person in the world to pay for something out in the real world using just their hand. I basically wanted to try to download as many apps onto my phone as possible and make sure that I could use alternative currencies and try to skirt cash or credit cards any way possible. A couple weeks into my experiment, I ended up going to Sweden. Sweden happens to be way far ahead of the United States when it comes to getting rid of cash. I ended up meeting with some people who are really active in the biohacking community and found that you could actually implant an RFID NFC chip in your hand.
So take a deep breath with me and exhale.
And so I figured if I could put it in my hand, maybe I'd be able to pay for something with my hand.
That was it. Breathe. Yeah. Keep breathing.
How's it feel?
It's like pinchy. It definitely hurt like way more than they said it was going to. It looks sort of like a grain of rice or like a pill that's in my hand. So once everything healed, I decided that I needed to start focusing on how to make this chip work. And I really wanted to become the first person to ever pay for a meal at a restaurant with their hand. Taste a second.
Yep. Sir, you're good to go.
That was so sick, dude. That was sick.
Yes.
That was insane.
After doing this experiment, I would bet that in about 10 years, it's kind of abnormal to carry around a wallet that's just stuffed full of cash.
My hand is paying for everything today.
2,000 years ago. Put yourself in the Apostle John's shoes, right? He's writing this down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Exiled on the island of Patmos. And he's writing about this figure called the Antichrist and this religious cohort that's going to control the planet. And then God tells him to write down this phrase that there's going to be some sort of a mark that they're going to require for people to put on their body, specifically their right hand or in their forehead. And without that marking system, you will not be able to buy and sell. Folks, what are you watching? Not even Sweden, but where did he go to get infected with the idea? In Sweden. But in the United States of America, right now as we sit here in the sanctuary, there are people willing and already paying with their hand. Now, we don't know the day nor the hour of the seven-year tribulation. We know what starts it, Daniel 9:27. The Antichrist makes a covenant with the people, Israel. But we also know the rapture happens prior. But if we're seeing that the technology for the mark of the beast is already here, and if we're seeing that people are already starting to make payments with their hands in the United States and around the world, folks, it's got to be getting close. And folks, once again, that's why Jesus said, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, what do you do? Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Christian, the rapture is around the corner. We can't be date setters, but God gives us signs that it's getting close. Why? So not so that we're fearful, so that we're faithful. So that as a faithful bride, we long for his appearing because we love him, because we're grateful that we're not going into the seven-year tribulation, and we can't wait to be with him in a place beyond our wildest dreams. We come back with him at the end of the seven-year tribulation. We get to rule and reign with him on the millennial kingdom on the planet. It's going to be absolutely awesome. That begins at the rapture. All this means it's getting close. And in the meantime, we get busy sharing the gospel with those people who don't have what we have. The one and only way out through Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be abreast of what's going on. But I'll say it here once again. I don't know your heart. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. If you're here today and you're not a true born-again Christian, if you have not truly trusted that Jesus Christ is the only way out of this mess, and you're trusting solely of his work on the cross, and that's it. For the full forgiveness of your sins, you're trusting in something else, yourself, even your attendance here today, you're not saved. You need to turn to Jesus Christ right now before it's too late. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says.
Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. while you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.